2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Inside Sources.
Inside Sources.
America's voice of reason. Boyd Matheson.
On Utah's home for elevated conversation.
Inside Sources on KSL News Radio.
8 hours, 53 minutes from now, the pandemic-era immigration policy known as Title 42 will officially come to the end. The White House, of course, faces a very pivotal moment, but so does Congress, with waves of immigrants coming to the border, a porous border, a broken immigration system. We need to take a look at where do both sides stand, what challenges need to be addressed, and most important, where do we go from here? Earlier today, Utah Senator Mitt Romney, ranking member of the Homeland Security Committee's Emerging Threats and Spending Oversight Subcommittee, joined us on the line from Washington, D.C. He's got a lot to say about where we are and what comes next. Let's begin.
Think you know the news of the day? Think again with Boyd Matheson on KSL News Radio.
Really pleased to have Utah Senator Mitt Romney joining us on the line from Washington, D.C. Stepped out of a hearing to have a conversation. And obviously, Senator, there's a whole lot going on there in Washington, D.C. today. But let's start at the southern border with just hours until Title 42 goes away. Give us a sense of the lay of the land and what are we seeing as we come down the home stretch there?
Well, it's unfortunate that the cartels are sending illegal immigrants into our country by the thousands, and it turns out by the tens of thousands. We had, I think yesterday, 11,000 people come into the country. That number is probably going to grow dramatically over the next few days, in part because Title 42 expires this evening at midnight. This was a provision that allows the Border Patrol agents to turn people back because of COVID restrictions. That goes away, and the cartels have been anxiously lining immigrants to pour into the country, ultimately illegally. We're getting flooded with people into this country that shouldn't be here, and unfortunately, the administration is not taking action to secure our border.
Yeah, and as you look at that, 11,000, I think, is a new record coming in a single period. We expect that to move forward. The president himself said he expected chaos at the border for a little while. You had some interesting questions that you sent in a letter to Secretary Mayorkas in terms of border security, what has been appropriated, funds, dollars and cents-wise, from Congress, what hasn't been used or what hasn't been done. Give us a sense of that.
Well, it's kind of surprising that we had a hearing with Secretary Mayorkas. He's in charge of the border security, Homeland Security. And he said that he's done 130 projects to build the wall and to close gaps in the wall. And my letter says, well, show me. Because I frankly think that's a gross exaggeration. I don't think there are any miles been added to the wall at all under this administration. And so my letter, which is signed by a lot of my colleagues, is saying, please tell us how many miles you've added to the wall and which gaps you've actually closed, and of the money that's been appropriated, what you've actually spent to secure our border. So we want to get information because we think at this stage, we're seeing a lot of fluff, and we recognize, of course, that the border is not secure. And the president has a responsibility to defend the country, to defend the homeland, and allowing tens of thousands of people, basically 10,000 a day or more, to flood into our country is simply not fulfilling his constitutional responsibility.
Yeah, such an important part of that conversation in terms of what needs to be done there. And obviously the immigration system itself is also under great duress and needs to be updated and reformed in significant ways. Senator, you've been one who has I think, tried to bridge the gap to say, look, rule of law and security and compassion are actually compatible principles, and get your colleagues to come together in terms of some real reform there. With everything coming into this kind of chaotic space, is that creating space for any kind of different conversations with your colleagues in terms of some of those reform pieces?
Well, you know, I was encouraged yesterday. The senators from Arizona are hearing from their constituents. They're both Democrats. Actually, Senator Sinema is independent, but caucuses with Democrats. And they're feeling the pressure. The senators, particularly along the border states and those states that are seeing a lot of these immigrants come into their country illegally, they're beginning to feel a lot of political pressure. And hopefully that will lead to some congressional action being taken. Because, you know, I blame the president for not securing the border, but I also blame him for not putting pressure on his party to work with our party and get a deal done to improve the law so that people who insist that they're coming to seek asylum in the U.S. Have to do so not in our country, but they have to do so in their own country or a country proximate to their country before they get to our border. So, yeah, we need to change our laws here to give a hand to the Border Patrol agents, but building the fence and changing the law would go a long way to protecting the homeland.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Yeah, and talk about that from a funding standpoint. Again, kind of going back to your conversation in the hearing with Secretary Mayorkas, in terms of funding from Congress, in terms of how that is being spent or what could be done or should be done in the days ahead to better secure that border.
Well, there's no question but that there are adequate funds for the Border Patrol agents to process individuals and to prevent people from coming across the border illegally. Right now, our challenge is not just those that find gaps in the wall, although that continues to be a problem. It's that people are coming, getting in line, and claiming that they're seeking asylum from some kind of repression in their home country. Now, overwhelmingly, when these cases get adjudicated, they're found that there was no such oppression, and they're told to go back home. But most of these people that come in illegally, we don't know where they are. We don't know whether they're going to come back for a hearing. Many, many will not. The delay for the hearing, I understand in the New York State, for instance, if you go there, the delay for hearing is not until 2033. So we don't have a system that processes people effectively and determines whether people are legitimate in their request for asylum. We're being overwhelmed at the border. The administration has sufficient funds to secure the border. It has funds for completing the border wall. They're really not doing anything. And I had a conversation with one of the top Democrats in the Senate, a member of leadership. And I said, I don't understand why you're giving us such a big issue. This is an issue that's helping Republicans. Why are you Democrats giving us such a big gift? Because this is killing the country and killing your party. And he said, well, you don't understand the power of the immigration lobby. And I thought, you know, that's always the problem with politics. Money gets involved. And obviously they think they're getting money from the lawyers that provide for, you know, these immigration lawsuits. And it's just unsavory and wrong.
I want to go back to this idea that you can come across illegally and get a hearing in 2033. I think we have a few staffers that might want to do that with their speeding ticket if they can just put that up until 2033.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
but tell us just a little bit in terms of we know that there's a large number of those that have come across that are just being released into the country. And again, often without a date or a specific date in terms of any kind of hearing. We know most of the troops that have been sent to the border have been more about kind of data processing as opposed to security. Where should we be in terms of that as, again, this chaos kind of mounts?
Well, you know, the president correctly said that it's going to be chaotic at the border. And the reason it's chaotic at the border is because we're being overwhelmed by people who've been told by the cartels that if they present themselves at the U.S. border, they'll be able to come into the country and basically wander free. And the president of the United States can take action administratively with an executive order to turn people away, to keep our country from being overwhelmed. But he has chosen not to do so. And I think you're right. By the idea of sending troops, I think he's trying to make it look like he's doing something. But these troops are not authorized to actually turn people around and send them back. They're basically, if you will, they're there for show. We had, as you indicate, over 11,000 people come in yesterday. These individuals, for the most part, are coming into the country claiming asylum, and many of them, and we don't know the exact number because Secretary Mayorkas has not provided it yet, many of them are just being told, you're on your own, welcome to the U.S. of A., and not even being told when they have to show up for a court date.
Anything else we should be watching on this front in the days ahead?
You know, the good news, I think, Boyd, is that the so-called mainstream media is paying attention to what's happening at the border. I think they recognize that when there are thousands upon thousands pouring into the country every day, that that's not good for the safety of our country. It's not good for, if you will, our labor force to have people come in that do not necessarily have the skills that we need in our economy. It's not good for our spending because in many cases, these folks require food stamps or medical care. It gets expensive. Look, this just does not make sense. And I'm glad there's increasing attention to this. And hopefully that'll put pressure on my Democrat friends to finally come to the table and help secure our border.
Well, the countdown's on. Midnight Eastern time is when Title 42 comes to an end. President Biden was correct. It is chaos at the border. There is a path forward, though. And the important thing is to figure out how to navigate that. So we're going to stay with the conversation just a little bit longer. We're going to talk to Suzanne Moniak, who always helps us get through the nuts and bolts and the nitty-gritty of what immigration reform could look like, should look like, and where we actually are.
Think again on Inside Sources with Boyd Matheson.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.